By grace are we saved through faith. It is the gift of God. Thank you, Brother Keller, for a great message from the Word of the Lord. I mean, he's glad for that grace. If it wasn't for the grace of God, none of us would be here today. Amen. And there is a spirit of encouragement in this place. Last night, I was not able to be here previous, but what a good spirit of encouragement was in the house last night and today. I'm enriched having heard what I've heard today, last night. How about you? How many feel like you've been enriched since you've been here? Amen. Why don't we just give God a thanksgiving offering and just begin to thank Him. The Bible says it's a good thing to give thanks to the Lord. Hallelujah. 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 You may be seated for just a minute. The Bible tells us, and I'm sure you've heard this before, but it's in the book of Job, where he tells us in the 36th chapter of the book of Job, he maketh small the drops of water. I love this scripture. I quote it quite a bit. He maketh small the drops of water. They pour down rain according to the vapor thereof. Aren't you glad he made rain small drops? It would have been terrible if they were like 50-gallon drops, you know. But God's grace made those drops small. And they poured down rain according to the vapor thereof. And what that means to me, that the rain that's being poured down is according to or in direct proportion to the vapor or evaporation that's going up. The same amount of evaporation that's going up turns into an equal amount of rain that's coming down. That's an earth science lesson. The heat of the day, how many believe the day we live in is a day of heat, testing, trial? There's heat in our world here today. The heat of the day comes out and causes the water to evaporate and turn it into a vapor, and that water goes up into the sky and then forms a cloud, and according to the same amount of water that goes up, the same amount of rain, it comes down. No vapor going up, no rain coming down. A lot of vapor going up, and a lot of rain coming down. That's why we have deserts. There's no vapor going up, so there's no rain coming down. That's why we have a rainforest. A tremendous amount of vapor going up, and a tremendous amount of rain coming down. That's why we have dry, dead saints. Because there's no prayer going up. There's no worship going up. You got to beg them to clap. You got to beg them to praise. You got to beg them to... There's no vapor going up. So there's no rain coming down. That's why you got somebody else having a time of their life. Because they're sending up some vapor of praise and prayer. And then God takes that vapor and turns it around into the blessing of rain coming down. I personally don't believe you have to feel something in order to praise the Lord. I don't think worship ought to be about what I'm feeling. I think worship ought to be about what I know. And not just about what I know, but who I know. And I found out a long time ago, if I worship Him because of who I know and what I know, I'll begin to feel who I know. Amen. So if this scripture is correctly applied as I have today, that seems to me that God is not the one that chooses how much anointing is in my life. If the rain that comes down is according to the prayer or praise that goes up, then God's not the one that decides how much rain is in my life. I'm the one that decides how much rain I want by how much vapor, how much prayer, how much praise that I descend up. If I decide to skip prayer, I'm skipping rain. If I decide to skip praise, I'm skipping rain. If I decide to sit there like a lump on a log, I decided to go without the blessing of God. But if I decide I can't afford to go without the blessing of God, then I can't afford to not send up some vapor of praise and worship to God. How many want God's rain and blessing in your life? Not just today, but tonight and tomorrow and this weekend and next Monday. How many want God to send down some rain, fresh rain, right now, tonight, today, right this second? Why don't we take a moment to send up enough vapor to get the kind of rain we want to come down right now? Let's decide how much we want. Praise God. Praise God. I bless you, oh God. I bless you. I love you. Thank you for your grace. 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 I praise you. I exalt you. I lift you up. I'm nothing without you. I am what I am by the grace of God. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your patience. Thank you for your long suffering. Thank you for bringing us, helping us, blessing us. Would you do your neighbor a favor? Would you put your hand on his or her shoulder, men with men, women with women, and pray with them, sending up that same vapor with that same passion that you just sent it up for yourself. Intercede for one another for just a minute. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, God, we need an abundance of rain. We need an abundance of rain. We love you, Jesus. Jesus. Without you, we can do nothing. Without you, we can do nothing. Without you, glory, 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 glory. Bless you, O God. I bless you, O God. Praise God. Oh, it's so good to feel the fresh presence of God. In the presence of the Lord is fullness of joy. And at His right hand are pleasures forevermore. Isn't it amazing what just a few moments in the presence of God can do to your spirit, to your mind, to your heart? Just being in the presence of God just may change your total perspective of where you are in life. Amen. Let's go to the 53rd chapter of the book of Isaiah, please. Isaiah chapter 53. And also the book of Numbers chapter 13. Numbers chapter 13. Isaiah chapter 53. Thank you, Mark Committee, and all that are involved for allowing me to be here this year. I appreciate it very much. And count it a special privilege to be ministering here. Glad to see two of our young people from our church. Brother Lawrence Matthews is a freshman student here at IBC. Wave your hand there, Lawrence. He's from our church. And his sister, Leah, this is her third year. Matthews, right up here. And she's a tremendous person. Both of these are tremendous young people. And glad to have them with us. One of our pastors from Maryland, Brother Jerry Staten, right back here, who has roots right here at Calvary Tabernacle. Pastoring, having a tremendous revival in Lexington Park, Maryland, which is, I like to say, on the edge of the world. And he is having a great revival down there, and I'm glad to see him here tonight. Amen for this afternoon. Isaiah 53, verse 1, I'd like you to read it out loud with me. And if you can't read, just mumble and nobody will know the difference, all right? Just one verse, let's read it. Isaiah 53, 1. Who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? Who hath believed our report? To whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? And please, in the book of Numbers, and I will just draw out one verse of Scripture, maybe two. In Numbers chapter 13, this is where the 12 spies had come back from spying out the land. They tell us in verse 26 and 27 that it is a tremendous land. They showed them the fruit of it. They said it was a land that flowed with milk and honey. In verse 28, though, they brought a negative report. And the Bible says, nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell on the land, and the cities are walled and very great. Moreover, we saw, everybody say, they saw the children of Anak there. And they began to tell a story how it would be impossible to take the land. In verse 30, Caleb silenced them. He told them to be still. And he admonished everybody, let's go up at once. He saw a doubting spirit take over. And he was trying to turn the tide. Let's go at once. Amen. In verse 31, the evil report came back. We're not able to go up against the people, for they're stronger than we. And the Bible says in verse 32, they brought up an evil report. Everybody say, an evil report. In verse 33, and there we saw the giants of the sons of Anak. Everybody say, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants. We were in our own sight in as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight. I just want to preach for a few minutes. I know we're a little behind in schedule. I'll try to just be in and out of here. Amen. Who hath believed our report? And I want to think of that song that we sing. Whose report do you believe? Whose report do you believe? We shall believe the report of the Lord. Brother Mooney, would you just pray for just a second?
Lord God, we ask you right now that our hearts and minds will be prepared to receive the Word. Direct the man of God as he preaches to us. Help us, Lord, to receive it and believe it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Amen. Who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? The next scriptures after that talk about the coming of the Messiah. He shall grow up as a tender plant. Talks about him not having any comeliness that we should desire him. He's despised and rejected, a man of sorrows. Talks about what he went through, what he had to deal with. He was despised. He was a man of sorrows. He bore our griefs. He carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken and smitten and afflicted. He was wounded. How many glad he was wounded for our transgressions? He was bruised. That's grace, is it not? He was bruised for our iniquities, and so on and so forth. And really, it was a prophecy of revival. And what the Messiah was going to have to go through, and what the Messiah was willing to do in order to produce salvation for us. And to who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? And then comes this majestic prophecy of the coming of the Messiah. So there was a faith statement made that this Messiah was going to come. And even though he was going to suffer these afflictions, he was going to produce grace wherein we could come and find salvation. And I'm so glad of it. I oftentimes find myself just a little bit jealous of many of you. I have to watch that. because I'm so envious of the fact that you were raised in this Pentecostal way. And from the pew up, you've learned and were saturated by and experienced and were blessed by the presence of God. And for the most part, godly parents and grandparents. And what a great testimony Brother Keller left us here today. But I'm neither a prophet nor the son of a prophet. I was 21 years old, before I heard anything about this. I didn't know anything about Jesus' name baptism. I didn't know anything about the oneness of God. I didn't know anything about the grace of God, the power of the Holy Ghost. But I was hungry, and I was searching. And I knew there had to be something more to life than just living it, making money, and that's it. And I was searching, and I was reaching. And I thank God that grace sent a preacher to my door and began to share with us the wonderful grace of God and told us about the baptism of the Holy Ghost. You can receive God's power and you can be baptized. And he taught us all about it. And 2 or 3 days later, my wife and I went down to that little church in Annapolis, Maryland, and heard a Pentecostal preacher for the first time. We didn't know we were the only ones there that didn't have the Holy Ghost. Everybody else knew it. It was sort of a setup, I guess. But they were just shouting and carrying on, and we thought the preacher was preaching to everybody. But it really turned out we were the only ones there that weren't saved. But at the end of the message, my wife and I got out of our pew, walked down to that aisle, walked down to the front. The preacher, Brother Wright, said, "I believe if you'll just lift your hands," because we'd already repented. He said, "I believe the first words out of your mouth is going to be speaking in tongues." I'll never forget lifting my hands and just sort of focusing on God. And I could just, it was almost like, well, I literally could see like a pitcher being poured out of water. And as it fell into me, I could feel it begin to fill me up. And when it got right to here, I opened my mouth and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave the utterance for the first time in my life. I'll never forget it being baptized that night, my wife and I. I'm so glad for the grace and the mercy of God. If you've been raised in this, you should never take it for granted. If you've known this all your life, you ought to be the best shouter in your church. If you've been in this since your early days, you shouldn't be the one that should be the last one to clap. You ought to be the first one to clap. If you've known this all your life, it shouldn't be the new convert that runs around the aisles. It ought to be that one that's known this all your life. For you are so abundantly blessed. I said you are so abundantly blessed. I'm glad I believe the report of the Lord. I'm glad when that preacher shared the gospel with me that there was a witness in the Spirit that made me know this is what I've been looking for. This is what I've been searching for. I knew so little about the Bible, I didn't even know where the Lord's Prayer was. But I got a witness when he was showing us these scriptures and knew this was what I was looking for. Thank God. How many know this is what the world is really looking for? They may not know it. They may not understand it. But what we heard taught here today is what the world needs and what it's looking for. I'm glad I believe the report of the Lord. Who believes the report of the Lord? How many's glad you're a child of God? Why don't you just kind of communicate right now to God how glad you are a child of God. Why don't we send up some more vapor? Are you glad for God's grace in your life? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. The very implication or the very phraseology of the question, "Who hath believed our report?" implies implicitly that there would be those that would not believe. The very phraseology of the question implies there would be those that would and those that would not. There is the report of the Lord that some would believe, and then those that wouldn't believe. That there would be a struggle, a contention of doubt, a contest, if you will, between doubt and unbelief and faith and in trust. That the report of the Lord, in order to receive the power or the arm of the Lord, there's going to have to be a belief in the report. And then the arm or the power or the strength would be revealed. I didn't receive the power until I first believed the report. When people believe, then their arm, the strength, the salvation, the power of God can be revealed. The power and the strength of God is in this place here today. There's been strength that's been transmitted. How many of you have received strength even today, last night? That's the arm of the Lord. I'm so glad for the arm of the Lord, because Jesus said, without me, ye can do nothing. Anything we accomplish for God is going to be because of His grace, His strength, and His arm. But that's got to be predicated on a belief in the report of the Lord. I'd like to tell somebody today that the enemy is absolutely determined, if he can, to stop us in our tracks. Amen. There seems to be, and maybe it's just in my life, a new wave, if you will, of obstruction, resistance, hassle, just to get plain about it, trying to discourage and to hinder. And I'm not trying to be negative here today. Please understand, I want to be positive, but I also want to be real. It seems like there's something in the atmosphere that seems to be different than the few years that I have lived for God. Amen. That there is a resistance in the Spirit and a hassle, if you please, in the Spirit to try to bring discouragement, discontent, to steal faith from the hearts of people to keep us stopped in our tracks. Can I get a witness from anybody here tonight? And I want to take comfort in the fact where the Bible says, where sin doth abound, grace doth much more abound. And I just like to send a message to the devil that's been hounding me lately. No matter what you throw at me, no matter what you try to hassle me with, where sin abounds, there's going to be a grace that's going to abound over whatever it is you throw, whatever it is you try, that's going to cause me to have victory regardless of what hassle there may be. Somebody send up some vapor right now, if you will. Hallelujah. Does that make any sense to you? In the name of Jesus, a couple of years ago, in the year 2001, just a little while ago, in the month of May, at our district conference, I preached a message, Brother Staten, you may remember it. I preached a message that hell hath enlarged herself. And I preached from the thought that hell is on the increase. That the enemy, who knows his time is short, amen, hath come down in great fury and wrath. And he's doing his best, as Daniel said in the 7th chapter of the book of Daniel, to wear out the saints. That word wear out comes from a Hebrew word which means to afflict the mind. Are y'all with me here today? Are y'all with me here today? That wearing out is an attempt of Satan to wear out, to afflict the thinking of the people of God, to bring a negativity and a discouragement and a distraction, to take your faith off the report of the Lord and to put your thinking on a negative report, a discouraging report, because he knows if he can get your focus, if he can get your attention, he can get you off your faith and stop you in your spiritual tracks. The Bible tells us in this message that I was preaching about hell increasing, the Bible tells us in the last days there shall be perilous times. And in that same, that 2 Timothy chapter 3, and in that 13th verse, it says in that same book, he said that evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse. There's going to be an increase of evil and deception in these last days. And I'm here to tell you, at least in my experience, I'm recognizing that. There is a greater spirit of deception and a greater spirit of wickedness in our world. That was in May. Just a few months later, on the 11th of September, you know what happened. A manifestation of evil and wickedness our world had never seen before manifested in our world. And since then, I think it's even propelled since then. Amen. That we saw the literal hand of the devil taking place in our world like it's never been manifested before. Amen. But just like hell is increasing, I also believe that there has to be, as I've already quoted, an increase of the grace and the Spirit of God, which tells me this. If hell is on the increase, as evil seems to be rising, am I on track here? Does anybody understand where I'm coming from here? If hell seems to be increasing, that tells me that wherever it was last year, and wherever my spiritual life was last year, if that hell is increasing, I can't afford to be the same spiritual person I was last year. I've got to outpace what the enemy is doing with a new and deeper walk with God. If hell's on the increase, the church better not be stagnant. The church better not be sitting still. The church better be getting with the program. If hell's on the increase, somebody ought to be praying more than they used to pray. Somebody ought to be worshiping more than they used to worship. And I'm trying to tell somebody, if you're at the same place you were last year, you're falling behind. Hello, if your prayer is just what it was 2 years ago, you're falling way behind. If your walk with God is the same as it was 6 months ago, you're already starting to fall behind because hell hath increased itself. But who will believe the report of the Lord? Amen. In the same atmosphere of sin and wickedness, there's a great revival breaking forth. I want to be a part of that. How about you? Amen. And I don't want to focus on what the enemy tries to put in front of me or put beside me or put in right in my face. I want to look over that. I want to look around that. And I want to believe the report of the Lord. Somebody praise Him with a loud voice right now. Oh, God. Brother Mooney, I can't shout like they used to shout. I got to shout more than I used to shout. Amen. Brother Baker, I can't pray like they used to pray. I got to pray more than I've ever prayed before. I can't pray with the same old lackadaisical spirit. I've got to pray with a passion that I've never had before. Come on, somebody. Let's lift up Jesus right now. Hallelujah. 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 At the same time, though, He's trying to wear out the saints. You may be seated. Wear you out. Wear you out so you can't pray or won't pray. Feel too tired to pray. Too busy to pray. Too busy to shout. Too busy to worship. Too tired. How many understand what I'm talking about? I'm trying to tell somebody, we can't afford to yield to that kind of pressure. We can't afford to yield to that kind of feeling. Amen. There's been plenty of times I come home so tired I just feel like just going right to bed and skipping this and skipping. We can't afford. We've got to get a hold of God. We've got to get a hold of God in a new way. We've got to get a hold of God in a deeper way. I've got to get a hold of God in a stronger way because I'm facing things I've never had to face before. Praise God. And the enemy would like to distract our attention from the report of the Lord and affect our faith and our confidence. Brother Jones preached about it last night when he said that God always honors His Word. What He was trying to do, at least in my opinion, was to lift somebody up to know if God said it, regardless of what it looks like, regardless of what it feels like, regardless of what it seems like, God is going to honor His Word. But I don't believe He's going to do that to a prayerless, sleepy, dead church that's unaware of His presence. I've got to pray it into manifestation. I've got to worship until I see it begin to happen, regardless of the evil report of the enemy that's trying to affect my faith. The writer said it this way in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight. Now's not the time to be carrying a bunch of weights around. Amen. And the sin which does so easily beset us. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Doing what in verse 2? Looking. Somebody shout, looking. When the enemy throws an evil report at you, it's important what you're looking at. He wants to get your attention on that problem. He wants to get your attention on that difficulty. Am I preaching to somebody here today? He wants to get your attention on why it can't happen or what's stopping it from happening. But He says to look unto Jesus. Keep looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him, He had His eyes on what was set before Him. He was looking at what was set before Him. He was looking at a church. He was looking at a conference. He was looking at Bible college students. And He was able to endure the cross. Amen. The cross said, it's over for you. The cross said, you're done. The cross said, it's over. But He was looking beyond the cross. And He was looking at what was set before Him. And because of that, He was able to endure. I'm trying to tell somebody, if you look past whatever cross you're having to bear and endure it by looking at the good report that God said is going to happen in your life and happen in your ministry, keeping your eyes on Jesus. And He said, for consider Him who endured such contradiction of sinners against Himself. He suffered contradiction. Contradiction. The king comes, and he should have been worshipped, but he's rejected. Contradiction. He should have been crowned, but he was crucified. Contradiction. He should have been lauded, but he was ridiculed. Contradiction. And there's going to be contradiction in your life. When you're looking for a miracle, and I hope I'm not coming across negative here today. When you're looking and believing for a miracle and you get sicker, or you're looking for a move of God and revival and you lose three families, or you're believing for a move forward and 14 negative things take place. That's a contradiction. Where you feel liberty in prayer and you feel like you're on the verge of something and two other things go wrong and an evil report comes to your life. It's a contradiction. And if you're not careful, you can get your eyes on the contradictions. And your faith begins to waver. And your courage begins to dissipate. And you become weaker in your stand. And I want to ask one more time, who shall believe the report of the Lord? It's going to depend so much on what we're focusing on. And I've just decided, like the scripture Brother Keller read today, the 23rd Psalm, in the presence of my enemies, Thou shalt prepare a table before me. A table is going to be prepared before me right in the presence of mine enemies. That tells me that when the enemy is showing up here and the enemy is showing up here, and by the way, if the enemy is showing up, that's not necessarily a bad sign. Amen. If the enemy is showing up, you must be doing something he's not very happy with. Or you might be on the verge he's not very happy with. And the Bible says, in the presence of your enemy, God is going to prepare a table. That tells me that in spite of this report, or this situation, or that problem, or this difficulty, or this setback, or that delay, or these finances, or those people leaving, God, if I keep my eyes on the report of the Lord, God's got a table. God's got a blessing. God's got revival right in the presence of my enemies. I just got to get my focus off my enemy and back looking on to Jesus. Let's praise Him with a loud voice right now. I believe we're in a battle of faith. Am I making any sense here today, Brother Baker? Am I making sense? Come on, let's send up some vapor right now. Send up some paper. We need some rain. I need a refreshing, Brother Strong. I need a fresh touch. Amen. Who hath believed the report of the Lord? If you'll believe, He's going to show the arm of the Lord. He'll reveal that arm right in the middle of all those enemies. Amen. You keep looking unto Jesus. Amen. And He's going to reveal the arm of the Lord. The arm is going to work for you. The arm is going to work. The miracle is going to happen. Regardless of the enemy, in the presence of the enemy, He'll prepare a blessing. He'll prepare a table. He'll prepare food. He'll make a way. God will make a way in spite of the enemy. We can't wait for the problems to be solved. We just need to have church anyhow. We can't wait for everybody to pray for. We just need to have a move of God anyway. We can't wait for everything to be straightened out. Let's just have a move of God anyhow. Hallelujah, anyhow. Somebody shout it with me. Hallelujah, anyhow. Hey, devil, hallelujah, anyhow. Hey, Satan, hallelujah, anyhow. Right in the middle of an evil report, just have a hallelujah anyhow. You know, much of what we do, you may be seeing, much of what we do in a church service and in this conference is encourage people. Come on, let's God's good. God's grace. Come on, let's praise the Lord. Come on, folks, everything's going to be all right. Let's praise the Lord anyhow. Can I get an amen to that? Much of what we do is a spirit of encouragement. Trying to get people out of the everyday humdrum and into the spirit and prayerful and worshipful and get walk away with a touch of the blessing of God. What we're trying to do is to get people to do what David said he would do. He said, I will lift up my eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help. Help cometh from the Lord. He said, I've got to look up. I've got to look over. I've got to look beyond whatever the trial is, whatever the test is. What the enemy wants you to do is look at. Look down. He wants your head like this. There's no blessing when your head is like that. There's no power when your head is like that. But David said, I will look under the hills from whence cometh my help. Help cometh from the Lord. The enemy wants you looking at why it can't happen. But who hath believed the report of the Lord? I'm still looking. Amen. Is anybody hearing what I'm saying? I'm still looking unto the hills from whence cometh my help. Psalms 24 said it this way, lift up your heads, O ye gates. Be lift up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Lift up your heads. Lift up your gates. He's telling us that your head and the direction you're looking in becomes a gateway. And He said, lift your head, lift your gates, and the King of glory shall come in. That's why He wants us looking down. That's why He wants us looking around. Because the King doesn't come in when we're looking around. And the King doesn't come in when we're looking down. But when we start looking up, you understand what I'm saying? I'm not talking about necessarily physically. I'm talking about an attitude. He said to lift up that head, lift up that gate, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is the King of glory? This is what I like. He's the King. Who is, next verse, who is the King of glory? The Lord, strong. There's that arm again. There's that power again. You get your head up, and the arm of the Lord is going to be revealed. The Lord strong and mighty. The Lord mighty in battle. Anybody going through a battle today? Anybody got some challenges today? Anybody going to go home and face some problems today? Amen. He said, if you lift up your head, the King of glory. Oh, how many times can you look back in your life and see where you couldn't solve a problem? You couldn't get the thing fixed. But somehow through prayer, God just had a way of fixing that situation. Amen. It's the same principle. Lifting up our heads. Looking unto Jesus. Believing the report of the Lord. He'll reveal His arm. And He repeated it for Ephesus. You may be seated. Lift up your heads, O ye gates. Be lift up the everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. I don't know about you, but I'll be the first to confess. There have been times it seemed so heavy, I couldn't, even though I wanted to, lift my head. How many times have you gone into a pulpit like that, but you had to do it by faith? How many times you tried to lead a service when you were hurting and pressured, but you had to, for the sake of leadership of the people, you had to do it anyhow. And in doing it, you were able to get your own head lifted up. How many of you ever came to a service where you were just down? Well, everybody in here always comes just on your tippy toes. How many of you ever came discouraged to a service? You didn't want to be, you just were. And no matter who said what, who sang what, your head was still down. I love this scripture. In Psalms chapter 3, verse 3, He says, "But Thou, our Lord, art a shield for me, my glory, and the lifter up of mine head." If where I'm looking is going to determine my destiny, and I can't look up when I need to look up. Thank God. Would you just look down for just a minute? I believe that anointing has a way of coming, and God slipping His tender nail-scarred hand under our chin and say, "Child, just lift up your head just a little bit. Everything is going to be all right. Just keep trusting in Me." Amen. You know what? I felt that tender hand in these services lifting up people's heads and saying, "I'm still with you. I haven't left you. Everything is all right." Don't focus on the evil report. Just focus on the report of the Lord. You have to believe the report of the Lord. In Matthew chapter 14, I'm trying to hurry here. You may be seated. It's when Jesus came walking on the water to the apostles in the boat. And they're in bad, bad shape. Oh, I hate being in bad, bad shape. You can't avoid it. There are going to be times He's going to say, "Get in the boat and cross to the other side." And He leaves out a couple details. You ever notice that? "Just get in the boat, fellas, and go on the other side." Okay, no problem. And when they're in the midst, right smack in the middle, 5 mile wide Sea of Galilee, they were at 2.5 miles. Right in the middle. Not close to this side, not close to that side. And a storm comes up. Isn't that the way it always is? "You forgot to tell us about the storm. Because if I did, you would have never got in the boat." When God gives you a prophetic word and shows you what He's going to do in your life, He just shows you the good stuff. He doesn't show you the trials. He doesn't show you the tests. Because if He did, you wouldn't move. But He's believing that you're going to keep your eyes on the report of the Lord. And whatever it is you've got to deal with, you're going to keep your eyes focused on Him. And you're going to trust Him. And He's going to teach you some lessons along the way. Jesus comes walking out to them. Peter says, "Lord, if that be You, bid me to come." Faith was high in the middle of that storm when he saw Jesus. Boy, don't you love it when Jesus comes walking toward you? And he said, "It is I, come." And so he got out on the water. And he's walking on the water. Cool. The Bible says this, when he saw. It's so important what you're looking at. As long as you're looking at Him, you can keep walking by faith. But when he saw the wind boisterous. Now, I don't know how you see wind, but the Bible says he saw it. He saw the wind boisterous and the waves. He began to sink. You know what those waves and that wind was saying to him? "What are you doing out here?" And he said, "What am I doing out here? I can't do this." He was doing what he said he couldn't do. Because he got his eyes on an evil report that said he couldn't do it. I've never stepped out of a boat without having to deal with a storm somewhere along the way. Amen. And God is teaching us to trust in Him. But when he began to look at the negative, you know the story. He began to sink. But he learned his lesson real quick. He got his eyes back on Jesus. And he said, "Lord, save me." And the Bible says he caught him. Thank God when we start to slip, he reaches out and catches us. When our faith starts to sink, he reaches out and catches us. I'm telling you, I feel like God is reaching out and catching somebody and saying, "Just keep looking at me. Keep trusting me. I'm going to make a way. I didn't bring you here to fail you now. I didn't bring you this far to let you go. Just keep looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith." Brother Keller, that brother, what was his name? Brother Brown, and his wife's name? Judy. You know what she was looking at? You may be seated. She wasn't looking at the heart monitors. She wasn't looking at the whatever makes her made him breathe. She wasn't looking at the doctor's report. She was looking at the report of the Lord. "You're not going to die. You're not, this is not, I'm not listening to this. The nurse said he's dead. Nurse said he can't live. Medical said it's not possible." Amen. That's an evil report. The devil will always bring you an evil report. But she said, "I believe the report of the Lord. 30 days. I believe the report of the Lord. 30 days, I would believe, I think if I understood the story right, the report of the Lord. Somewhere along the line, he opened his eyes. Somewhere along the line, he started breathing on his own. Somewhere along the line, his heart started beating. Because somebody said, "I'm going to keep looking to the hills. I'm not going to believe this report. I'm not going to look at this report. I believe." Let me ask somebody, who believes the report of the Lord? We got to keep our eyes on the report of the Lord. Brother Staten, am I making any sense? You know those bitter, betraying brothers of Joseph. They got mad at Joe. He was too dumb to keep his mouth shut. "Hey guys, I got a cool dream last night. Let me share it with you. Y'all go bow down before me. Is that cool or what?" "That is so cool. Awesome. God is working. Give me five. You're going to bow." Duh. They hated him all the more. They already hated his guts because his dad bought him that coat, you know. You got to be careful. You look at somebody else's coat. You don't get mad about it. You're going to bow. And they hated him all the more. Then he had another dream. Dumb kid. "Hey, guess what else? Not only y'all, but mom and dad too. Everybody around here. do obeisance.
They're going to honor me. Shout.
Nobody was shouting. But the Bible says of Jacob his father, that Jacob observed the same. Just a little, quick little line. It was after the verse, Jacob even rebuked his son. But the next verse says that he observed the same. That tells me that there was some spiritual something that happened inside of Jacob to let him know, as crazy as this boy sounds, I feel something in this. And it's going to take place. He observed it. He got a report from the Lord. And there was a reason why God gave him that witness. Because in the same chapter, those jealous brethren threw him in the pit and then sold him into slavery and then dipped his coat into the blood of goats and brought that false evidence and threw it at the feet of Jacob. And they did not say, it's funny how the devil works. They did not say, is this Joseph's coat? Excuse me. They did not say, this is Joseph's coat. They said, is this Joseph's coat? And let him make his own conclusion. Oftentimes, the devil doesn't say, it isn't going to happen. He'll just point at a situation in your life and say, are you going to be able to have that with this? And Jacob leaped to the bait. And he said, this is Joseph's coat. Surely he's been killed by lions or whatever. And three or four verses later, as he's weeping and wailing, his family tried to comfort him. But the Bible says he refused to be comforted. Nothing could comfort him because he bought in to a lie and an evil report. Had he remembered the report of the Lord? Had he remembered, wait a minute, I felt something when Joseph said we were all going to bow down. I got a word that as crazy as it was and as hard to understand as it was, there's going to be a day that we're going to bow down before him. And I felt it was God. You know what? This may be his coat, but it can't be his blood, because the prophecy and the word and the ministry that I received that told me I was going to bow down to Joseph has not taken place. So therefore, he can't be dead. I'm trying to tell somebody that the devil will throw down at your feet some bloody coats as false evidence to tell you that your dreams cannot come to pass. But let's repeat something that God said, that Satan is a liar and the father of all liars. And even though he may bring you an evil report, it's a lie, because your dream hasn't come to pass yet and the prophecy hasn't been fulfilled yet. And God always keeps his word. Amen. I'll tell you how we're going to get to glory. Amen. We're going to have to step over bloody coats from time to time. Yeah, I see that coat, but I believe the report of the Lord. Yeah, I see that situation, but I believe the report of the Lord. Yes, I see that obstacle, but I believe the report of the Lord. Yes, it looks difficult, but I believe the report of the Lord. Amen. There's people in this room that got a pile of bloody coats in front of you, and instead of letting that tell you that your dream is dead, why don't you turn it around and say, you know what? I don't care what the devil said. God, I believe the report of the Lord. Does that make any sense? Does that make any sense? That means that regardless of how bad it looks, God is still in control. He's still in control. Amen. You remember when Paul, I really am trying to hurt you, maybe see, remember when Paul was trying to build a little fire on that island? He's just trying to have a little fire. Just trying to survive. And he sticks his hand in the wood and he pulls it out and there's a snake stuck on it. Bit into it. and all those heathen said, man, you are fixing to die. The evil report was, you've been bit and you're done for. And Paul just shook it off because he knew the prophecy hadn't been fulfilled yet. Therefore, regardless of the report, it can't be true. I'm not believing it. I'm not yielding to it. He could have focused and said, oh my God, I'm going to die. Oh, pray for me, saints, I'm going to die. He just shook it off. You know what we're going to have to get good at? Shaking some things off. We're going to have to get real good at shaking some things off. Because anytime you try to build a fire, there's going to be a snake somewhere that's going to try to stop you from having that revival God wants you to have. Anytime you try to stir up some fire and burn up and get something going, there's going to be a snake somewhere that's going to try to latch it to you and try to make you feel like you might as well quit. You might as well give up. I want to go on record. I'm not quitting. I'm not giving up. I'm going to build a fire. Somehow, we're going to get this thing all the way through. How about somebody going home and building a fire? That'll make the devil mad. Yeah, but it'll make God mad if you don't. And if you'll go build that fire, and if a snake bites you, just shake it off. Just shake it off. In Jesus' name, I got my eyes on Him. Lift up your heads, O ye gates. Lift up your heads, O ye gates. And the King of glory shall come in. You see, an evil report comes from what you see. What the enemy tries to get you to look at. Bloody coats. Viper on your arm. Problems in the church. Difficulties. How many can relate to what I'm talking about? But a good report comes by what you know. Peter saw the wind. He forgot for a moment what he knew. That I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. And so the enemy uses what he can put in front of your face to discourage your faith. The 12 spies, perfect example. The Bible says when they saw the sons of Anak, they said, we're grasshoppers, man. We ain't nobody. Who did we think we were? What were we thinking? That we could go over and take this land. Look at all the obstacles. Look at all the hindrances. Look how big they are. Look how small they are. And you know what? If you go 40 years into the future, and the spies are now at Rahab's house, Rahab said, where have you all been? Because ever since we've heard what your God did bringing you from the Red Sea, we have been in stark terror of you. And where have y'all been for 40 years? You know what? I think the devil's got us so buffaloed into thinking we are so pitiful when all the time he is scared to death that we're going to realize who we really are. And what we really have. And whose we really are. And who He is. Amen. They spent 40 years being buffaloed out of the blessing that God had for them. Because they got intimidated by the sons of Anak. I looked up that word Anak in the Hebrew. And if you look it up, it means this. A chain or a necklace that's strangling or choking. In other words, a chain wrapped around the neck that's tightening and choking. When they saw the sons of Anak, it became an evil report that wrapped itself around their neck and began to choke smother and kill their faith as it strangled their faith when they looked at the giants. When you begin to look at the reasons why it can't be, it begins to strangle your faith and choke your faith and put you into an intimidation of fear. Can I get amen? And that's why we just got to start breaking chains. You know, I don't know if this is true. I heard it years ago. I heard it again recently, and I've not ever really researched it. But David is the one that instituted hand clapping into worship. And I heard it recently. Maybe you have too. I tend to buy into it. I like it. That David had everybody clap. Would y'all just clap for just a minute? Thank you. To David, it sounded like chains snapping and breaking. And David wanted the people of God to clap unto the Lord so they could remember the chains that they used to wear that God had snapped and broken and set them free. And every time they clapped, he wanted them to rejoice, amen, in the snapping and the breaking of chains as God made them free. Amen. Any time that Anak tries to wrap a chain around your faith and to choke your faith and bring discouragement, why don't you look to the hills and begin to clap and shout and let those chains be broken. Why don't we break some chains right now? And let's believe the report of the Lord. You're not going to die. 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 Come on. Oh, God. Let's break that strangling chain. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. You may be seeing one more thought. You know, one of the biggest, baddest dudes in the Old Testament to me was Elijah. He was like the John Wayne of the Old Testament to me. Here's a guy who walks right into the king's house, said, "No rain till I say so, adios," and he's gone. I mean, that's pretty bold. I wonder how he even got in there. He goes and hides out by the brook Cherith. The ravens bring him food, drinks by the brook. God turns the faucet off. He's got to move to Zarephath. 125 miles across a barren desert. He walks the whole way. A widow woman there is going to feed him. He sees her, and she's got one little some meal left, little oil. She's got one cake left. Going to die. He said, "Give it to me. We'll both live." She did, and they did. And they lived. A little while after that, he strides on up to Mount Carmel, takes on all the prophets of Baal. He said, let's have a little shoot out here. God that answers by fire, he's the real God, okay? Is that cool? Yeah, okay. So you guys go first. And he lets them rant and rave, cut themselves. Those guys did not believe, I'm proof to you, those guys did not believe that their God was going to answer by fire because they jumped on the altar. They didn't believe that. If they believed their God was going to answer by fire, they'd have never jumped up on that altar. But they made a good show of it, didn't they? Elijah made fun of, maybe your God's on vacation, whatever. Scream a little louder, guys. He gets up there in a two-verse prayer. Fire comes down. And he soaks that thing down, 12 barrels of water, to make it impossible for any human intervention to make it happen. Did you ever feel like when you're on the verge of a revival or a move of God or an answer to prayer, somehow God just started pouring water on the situation? Got worse before it got better. That's so you'll know when he does it. You had nothing to do with it. And he makes some things get worse. Oh, I hate when that happens, don't you? He makes some things get worse before it gets better. What's God doing? I've been praying. I've been faithful. He's just pouring water on it. Just pouring water on it. Just pouring water on it to make it impossible for anybody to say, well, he had a lighter up there. You know, he has a trick. That only God would get the glory. When fire came down, John Wayne pulled out his 6-gun. And he killed 400 prophets with a sword that day. It was a bad day to be a prophet of Baal. And he slew them all there. And that dude is dead. Now come on. He was the man. And then he gets to running in the spirit and outruns Ahab's horses all the way back to town. I would have thought that guy would run into town like this. Right? Wouldn't you? You think anything could have ever bothered him after that? Oh, you would not think so, would you? But Ahab, that wimp, went to his witch wife Jezebel and went to crying and boo-hooing about what had happened. And she wrote a letter to Elijah and said that I'm going to kill you within 24 hours because of what you did. Wouldn't you think he'd have said, come on, baby! I'll burn your house down too. Wouldn't you think? Come on. I just killed 400 bad dudes. I can take care of one old lady. Wouldn't you have thought? But the Bible says, you read it, when he saw what she said, when he looked at it, when he focused, he got his eyes off the report of the Lord. And he got his eyes on her report. And he began to run for his life. Can you believe that? I wonder how many times we come off a great move of God. And one little thing happens. And our faith changes right out of our feet. He even wanted to commit suicide. He wanted to die. Just let me die. It's over for me. Oh God. Because he got his eyes on evil report. Who hath believed the report of the Lord? Amen. The enemy is always, you know, there have been times that I thought I finally defeated him. And I hadn't at all. I'd gotten victory in that particular situation, but he sure knew how to come back again. Amen. He's got to be repeatedly defeated in every situation we come to when he tries to resist. Amen. But greater is he that's within me than he that's within the world. Can I get a witness? I want to ask you one more time. Who hath believed the report of the Lord? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. I love that scripture. We've heard it many times. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Even though the evil report is there, think on the good report. Think on the move of God. Think on the promise of God. Keep your focus on the report of the Lord. And that's how we're going to go from victory to victory and from faith to faith. The enemy will throw out an evil report to try to discourage you, hem you in, drain the faith right out of your feet. Amen. But just keep your eyes on those hills from whence cometh your help. Help cometh from the Lord. Amen. Thank you for your attention here today. God bless you. I tell you what we do. Why don't we stand snapping some chains right now? Can we do that? Why don't we stand snapping some chains? Hallelujah. Now let's shout with a voice of triumph while we clap our hands. Let's believe the report of the Lord. When we go out of here, let's go have that victory God wants us to have. Let's have that move God wants us to have. Let's have some more of those miracles, Brother Keller. Hallelujah. 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 There are some days I felt like a wall had fallen down on me and a troop had run over me. But the Bible says, by Him, I can run through a troop. I can leap over a wall. That tells me by the grace of God, whatever evil report, whatever hassle, whatever discouragement is in front of me, by God's grace, I can either get through it or I can get over it. Amen. I can leap over a wall, or I can run through a troop. I just got to go back to that prayer closet. I got to go back to that place. Because hell is on the increase. Evil men and seducers are waxing worse and worse. Satan has come in great fury, wrath, because he knows his time is short. But I know the key to my personal increase. If I decrease, he can increase. The key is decreasing before him so he can increase in my life. And if he'll increase in my life, no matter what hell is trying, if I believe the report of the Lord, then he'll reveal the arm of the Lord. His strength will make a way. Whatever obstacle you're dealing with, there's no obstacle. God can't help you either. Just give you grace to endure it, or give you grace to get past it, or around it, or over it. God's able. Is he able? Yes. Amen. Let's send up some vapor like we really mean business now. Thank you.